There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. There is a... I don't know really... I'm trying to think of a way to talk about this without hurting everybody's feelings and insulting them right off the bat at the beginning of the show. Today's date is the 17th of November, 2015, and it's about 2 or 3 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Had a time change a few weeks ago. And, but we're going to talk about the word being selfish. Now, the word selfish has all kinds of meanings. Like a parent will punish or chastise or scold a child for being selfish. They won't share a toy with a friend. Someone will supposed to cut a sandwich in half and share it with somebody. They say, no, I want the whole sandwich. There's all kinds of descriptions of being selfish. Sometimes it is as simple as something childlike as not letting someone play with a toy or someone not sharing a sandwich when they're supposed to. But sometimes being selfish has catastrophic effects. Marriages have been broken. Children's hearts have been broken because parents have been selfish with their time, selfish with their careers, their hobbies. And unfortunately, in the year 2015, and it'll probably get worse in 2016 and 17, so on and so forth, is there is all kinds of selfishness occurring on every single level of reality. That we could actually not just make one show about this, we could probably make 6 months shows about this and just break it down into categories of selfishness. And like I always like to bring up, because it's such an important book in the Bible, and it's, I don't know if it's overlooked or misunderstood or just people fly by it to get into the meat of the book, but in Genesis, there was a selfishness to Eve, and it was passed on to the serpent. Well, the serpent passed the selfishness on to Eve. Eve passed it on to Adam. And their punishment was all about being selfish. But there's another word that is directly tied to being selfish. And that's being humble. Because in Scripture, there's many stories, many parables, many chapters, books, and verses that will talk about people who were humbled or had been humbled or lacked being humble. because they were selfish. Because it's very difficult to be a humble person in the eyes of Christ and still hold on to some selfishness inside you. The two are polar opposites, like the positive and negative posts on a battery. They work in concert together, but they don't work together well when they make contact. And Jim, tonight you want to talk about this, the selfishness of people, but also the which bleeds over into the selfishness of our civilization.
Right.
Which is just one more reason why there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world.
Yeah, that's right. You see so much of it anymore, and I think we all have to admit that the more you hang around the world, and of course, that's not even about going outside your house anymore. That's just about sitting wherever you're at, no matter where you're at. These phones that we've got can connect you to the world so quickly and so fast. And even on, you know, Facebook is something that that I appreciate for what I'm able to do with my ministry and the few times you're connecting with people that you really love and the things that you, well, for instance, this past week, I actually had a birthday, and a lot of people sent messages on Facebook to say happy birthday. Well, see, that kind of stuff is nice, but you can also immediately begin to see what's going on in the world, the news and the reports. Boy, there's so much selfishness going on, and I want to read a scripture here right from the very beginning because, wow, this is really something. This is, you're talking about 2,000 years ago this scripture is read. And look at what it says, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed." And all these words here I'm getting ready to read, they all evolved from selfishness. Money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes they're animals. Stay clear of these people. Well, that's kind of a pretty good list right there, don't you think?
Helps if you push the buttons. I do think. I think it's so easy to be selfish because, well, we're taught it.
Yes.
You know, they teach us how to tie our shoes. They teach us to brush our teeth, to clothe ourselves, to go to school, to do our homework. They teach us how to drive. But at the same time, we teach children how to be selfish. To not just take pride in your accomplishments, but to hold on to them and to covet just about everything that you own. And it's hard to humble yourself and to realize that you're being distracted by your lifestyle and how you live. And then you wonder why you're not hearing the voice of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Why you talk about grace, you read about grace, and maybe you hear about someone who experienced grace, but it's not happening for you. And you're wearing the right clothes, you're listening to the right things, you're reading the right stuff, you're going to the right groups and organizations, and
right.
It still isn't working.
Yeah.
Because there's a void. And the void is that there are things about us that are very selfish that sometimes we don't even realize they are selfish. And the reason they're selfish isn't because we should be sharing them with someone else. It doesn't mean we're selfish because we have something that somebody else needs. That's not it at all. It's selfish because we focus on it and we desire it or what we're doing more than we focus and desire on the guys. And so our selfishness sometimes is on a spiritual plane, that we're distracted by our own accomplishments, our own desires, our own wants and needs, which is selfish, because we're supposed to focus and have our desires on Christ.
Don't you think the parallel, and we always try to bring parallel to the world and then to how that the world bleeds into Christianity. But don't you think just even the parallel of the world, if people are struggling to be selfless around one another, how easy would it be then to be selfish and not give God time? I mean, I think it bleeds right over. And this is a part of, to be honest, this topic right now has me feeling a little bit interesting. Because most topics, I really like the angle that we come at. But this topic right here tonight, BJ, I feel like it's almost all-encompassing. It almost touches almost every angle that you could think of.
Well, it does, and it's supposed to. That's why Scripture talks about selfishness and about distractions of the world and of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
and how you're literally supposed to turn the other cheek and stay focused on your relationship with God, and everything will be provided for you, and everything will be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that is tough to do when you're focusing on the flesh, your own accomplishments.
You know how we've said before, and I've always liked this when we talk like this. You know, when you and I are talking, and you'll say something about an individual or about people in general that don't seem to get something, okay, spiritually. And then you'll make the comment to me when I'm trying to defend something. You'll say, well, Jim, where would they get that skill set?
Right.
Where? Like, where in the world, how they live, how they see things, do they have the skills that provide them with the ability to contact God in the way you're talking about?
Right.
Because they don't have that skill set in the world. And
that's
I feel like this subject really kind of speaks about this, because I feel kind of like selfishness. I feel like, boy, for every area you feel like you recognize that you're selfish and you make a good choice to not be, there's
right.
probably about 10 others that are staring you in the face. You don't even have a clue.
That's very true.
I feel like this is inbred or woven in our society so much that it's one of those things that's kind of stealth. Do you think so a little?
Well, yeah, it's because, number one, it's never talked about. Number two, it's never dealt with. And number three is that the type of selfishness we're talking about is as every day as toothpaste, toilet paper, and the 6 o'clock news. You know, it's one thing when you talk about gambling or internet pornography or stealing cars, robbing banks, or abusing animals or throwing rocks at kids. Those are very specific things that only very specific people deal with. But when you talk about the selfishness of man, and when I mean man, I mean men, women, and children. When you talk about the type of selfishness that we're dealing with, it's just not discussed.
But it's universal. Touches everybody.
Everybody. Christian, Buddhist, American Indian,
anyone.
Aborigine,
yeah.
Muslims, the man in the moon. Everybody. And the type of selfishness we're talking about is very subtle. I'm extremely selfish myself because I've spent so much time on this ranch, working on this ranch, and with the horses. Now, people would say, well, what's wrong with that? He's staying out of trouble. Mm-hmm. He's working hard. He's helping animals. But at the same time, that is time taken away from a potential relationship with Christ.
Right.
Because everything is so much better. It almost sounds like a commercial for laundry soap. If you want your whites whiter and you want your brights brighter and you want the sun to be shinier and you want the sky to be bluer, be next to God. Enjoy grace. If you want to feel better, if you want to run farther and jump higher and have your aches and pains taken away, go towards Christ. I mean, it's literally like a commercial. But to be able to be in a position to be open-hearted and open-minded to accept the wonderful gifts of God, you have to humble yourself by giving up the focus and attention and the selfishness of the desires of your day. I don't know what your selfishness is. Maybe it's golf. Maybe it's fishing. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's daytime television. Maybe it's gardening. Maybe it's just the way you view yourself in the world. I don't know. But it's up to each one of us to recognize that we all suffer from some form of selfishness. And that once you recognize that everyone, myself, Jim, everybody listening to this show, everybody related to, every person you've ever seen at a stoplight in another car, then all of a sudden you realize you're not alone with this affliction. But before you can fix a problem, you have to acknowledge that a problem exists.
Right, right.
And Scripture says, we got an issue here.
Yeah.
And it's called selfishness.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, there's so much in the Bible that goes to this particular subject. But before I get to some of those scriptures, I did want to say, because I really liked what BJ just said there, isn't it interesting, all of the things he said about selfishness pointed to that the things that we do on a regular basis take us away from the meaningful times that we should be enjoying God, or enjoying with God. And as a result of, and Jesus said this over in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As a result of spending time with him, the things that we're actually seeking after and developing all kinds of desires and inordinate affections toward, and then spending our time on, those are the things that the Lord would be glad to bring to us if we just focus on him. So I think this is really good, because in sermons that I've heard talk, most of the time, whenever you're talking about selfishness, it's always in relationship to how you relate to someone else, which obviously it's a huge part of what we're talking about. But I love that the bigger picture is, are you self-absorbed with the things of life that you consider to be so important that you have so very little time for God? I remember that one lady that made the comment. I shared this testimony, in fact, this weekend. The one lady that made a comment about her crocheting business. And she raised her hand. We were having times where people could raise their hands. She raised her hand and said, you know, I'm struggling with how to actually acclimate this to my life and apply it. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, I have a crocheting business. She said, I've always done really well crocheting, and some people, friends, encouraged me to put some of my things that I've done on the internet. And she said, when I did, I was shocked as much as anybody to find that immediately I got all kinds of requests for things that were being crocheted. She said, so my business has actually on the internet grown quite a bit. She said, and yet here I am doing it myself, which basically means I've got a to-do list from the morning until the night that even has time attached to it. Like I've got 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there, 2.5 hours there, then 10 minutes here. I take my knitting needles and my things with me everywhere I go so that if I have 10 extra minutes sitting someplace, I'm crocheting in order to get my stuff done. She said, I don't have it time for anything else. And I asked her the question. I said, well, how much of that is actually spiritual in nature and important to your relationship with God? And her comment was kind of interesting. She said, well, I know what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say. I said, no, answer the question. She said, well, I know. I mean, I get it. I know what you're saying, but what I'm trying. I said, no, you really need to answer my question if we're going to go on. She said, well, none of what I do is spiritual in nature and pertains to my relationship with God. I said, well, there we go. She said, well, what does that mean? I said, well, we at least located the idea that you really shouldn't have any real importance on this business. She said, well, what am I supposed to do? I said, why not give that importance to Jesus? And why not ask him to pick up his knitting needles and crochet with you the very next day? She said, what do you mean by that? I said, don't you think he'd like to be with you all day long while you're doing this and relieve your stress and bless you and help you? Maybe you could get your stuff done quicker, wouldn't have a stressful day, be happier, make more money, and enjoy Jesus in the process. And she looked at me with a stunned look and she said, I can do that. And I said, I didn't say this was hard. But look at the conversation and how it went, where she was self-absorbed in something that anyone would say was a very good thing. It provided a living for her. It definitely consumed her time. She wasn't slothful. She was diligent all day long, but yet she left God high and dry.
You did good to keep from laughing. Do you want to know what I was doing over here?
I have no idea.
Why don't you
Were you looking for a little mouse or something in there?
Why don't you tell him what
Holy
you
Holy smokes. I thought you were going to put your whole head inside your pocket.
Okay.
He's got a shirt pocket, one of those T-shirts that have a pocket in it. And he always is ragging me because I don't have I don't have one of those. And he's always got something in that T-shirt on the ranch. But anyhow, he's in there in that pocket looking for gold. I don't know what he was looking for. But obviously he didn't find it. So he grabbed a flashlight and stuck it down in his shirt. I thought he was going to put his whole head in there. Anyhow.
Okay. I felt a bump in my shirt pocket. And this is this isn't just a clean T-shirt. This is a brand new T-shirt. Okay? And I thought, well, what's in my pocket? You know, maybe it's a piece of, you know, a lint or like a sticker from the factory. And there was a little crumb of Cheetos in the pocket.
Oh, okay.
And so I ate it. And then I thought, I wonder if there's any more crumbs in there. And so I was feeling around, and I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to grab a flashlight, stick it in my shirt pocket, and see if I see any more Cheetos, chunks down in the pocket. But, yeah, why somebody would wear a shirt without a pocket, I don't understand. I don't understand how they can even,
They sell them both ways, you know.
Well, that doesn't mean it's right to have a shirt without a pocket. Folks, we would sure like some emails and text messages tonight. Even if you just want to say hello to another listener, you just want to let us know you're listening. The way that you text the show is you say the name of my dog, Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R, Ranger. That's the first word that you type in your text message, and then you type whatever else you'd like us to read on the show or read here in the barn. And when you press the send button, you need a number. It's 99000, two nines and three zeros. So the first word you type is the name Ranger, and then you type the rest of your text message, and when you press the send button and you need a number, it's 99000, 99000. Emails, if you would like to email us tonight, it's the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence. All one word, no spaces or capital letters, just type The Abiding Presence, and then at, the little at sign, and then the email address is G, the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy for the Holidays. So that's The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. There you have it. So kind of an interesting night for us here on the ranch. We're talking about selfishness. And we got an email that came in 6 days ago. It says, I typically fall asleep before you guys start, but listen and enjoy throughout the week. This is for doing the show. Thanks for doing the show. Don't hear anything like this anywhere. God bless you all continually. This is from someone named Ronald.
Thanks, Ronald.
Yep, that came in 6 days ago. And so hello to Ronald whenever you listen to the show. We have one text message. It says, everyone loves Ranger. So make sure you send us some emails and texts about selfishness. Are we explaining this topic to you? Does it make sense? Are we confusing you? Do we need to take this topic and chew it a little finer? Do we need to be more specific about selfishness in Scripture and how selfishness is a major distraction that puts us clicks away from due north, which is towards heaven or the guys? I mean, there's all kinds of temporary distractions, but there are some distractions that are a tough load to haul and to get over. Alcoholism, drug addiction, adultery, gambling, and selfishness. I mean, let's face it. I got to admit, it's fun for me to think about me. It's fun to do things, to have goals that make my life better. But exactly what kind of quality does better mean? Is it a better spiritual relationship with Christ? Is it a better self-awareness of the fact that I'm really truly a spirit being and I'm not just a human being? That there's more to us than this body and this life we were born into? Or is it about personalized license plates? I mean, think of the selfishness in plastic surgery, fake suntans, little things that don't seem to really seem selfish at the time, but they're blinking lights of a pattern of thought. They're indicators of a road that we're on. They're precursors to show that, wait a minute, this is part of a pattern.
Right. That's good.
That on their own, they seem innocent. On their own, they seem, well, there's no harm in this. Are you stupid? Are you crazy? But yet, when you add them all up, it's a giant wall between our spirit self and our spirit father, because we're being selfish. And think about what the people that were humbled in Scripture. I mean, they're talking about having, losing, sacrificing, having it taken everything away.
Sure.
So, I'm not saying you should burn your house down or quit your job or trade in a brand new pickup truck for one that's 30 years old just to be humble. No, I mean, come on, don't be silly. What I'm saying is, don't give them more power. Don't give them more of your thought process, of your day-to-day life, than what they're really worth, because they're temporary possessions. Don't define your life by where you live. Don't define your life where you work. Don't define yourself on the reality of this world. Define yourself on how good of a relationship you have with Christ. Define yourself with the accuracy and potency of your ability to pray. Define your life on a Christian testimony.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, the scripture here, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Most of you should know this if you've been around religion or the church world for a long time. It says, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Notice that humility there, what it's saying. The need for humility is so important because humility goes hand in hand with repentance. Turning toward God when it would be easier to turn toward evil. The idea of strength being when you choose to do what's right when it's easier to do what's wrong. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So notice the humility goes with turning your face toward God instead of turning your face toward yourself. I think all these things we're sharing tonight are extremely pertinent, especially because, and folks, I'm not trying to make this show relate to the news by any means, but of course, and of course we know news media nowadays, who knows what's actually extremely accurate or not accurate, what's embellished or not on the news. Everybody seems to have their own agenda, which is selfish. But if you look nowadays at what's going on, some of the topics that people are really struggling with is this political correctness, where people are seemingly to be so quickly offended by everything that is said. Well, all that is what? It has a root of selfishness in it. And then if you look at some of the things that are going on with entitlements, everybody's wanting, now you got kids at school saying, I want free tuition. And you have people saying, you know, you owe me this or you owe me that. Well, we certainly want to stretch out our hand to those that are poor, to those that are needy. My goodness, the Bible's full of information that shows it's important for us to reach out and be a blessing. But look at where most of these claims are coming from. It's a deep-seated root of selfishness that's rising up in this last day. And that verse of Scripture that I read to you says very specifically that in the end times, people will be self-absorbed. And that's exactly what we're sharing with tonight. Now, always think of, while we're talking about this subject, that the selfishness of man, the little things that I do here and there that are all self-promoting, all of those things pull me away from the real truth and the real relationship. That's why I trust that you got a hold of what BJ just said a few seconds ago, that your life should be defined by the testimonies and the moments that you experience God on a daily basis, and the evidence that's proven because you actually do experience God, which can be things that pertain to every area of your life concerning health in your body, strength to your mind, relationships that have amazing balance to them, where there's wonderful love shared between the two, the well-being of your home, where provision is met, and where you have a wonderful handle on being able to give, as the Scripture says, that when you give, it'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men shall give under your bosom. Taking all these different areas of life that we have concern over and applying yourself to them is a self-destruction. But taking all these areas that you have concern over, literally giving up all the value to it and placing your heart, your value, energy, and time on Christ is where you'll never lack. It's a really interesting way of life, and it's completely different from the world, especially the selfish world we're living in today. Any more emails or text messages?
We haven't had one single text message. We got an email that came in 7 minutes ago from Roman. It says, hello to everyone from Pasco, Washington.
Hey, Roman. Thanks for saying that.
Then we got another one that says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Selfishness is a huge problem for me. I think the more I acknowledge that, the more I will be able to make steps to overcome it. Thanks for discussing this topic tonight. It's hard to acknowledge the darker side to my personality. But I want to have the most amazing spiritual relationship with grace, so this is such an important topic. Thanks for taking us deeper.
Well, that's good. I like the motivation there.
Yeah, and I just thought I wouldn't mention their name, even though they didn't say not mention my name. I just thought I'd leave it out. They heard it because they're listening. Well, obviously, they're listening to the show. And I hope we get more text and more emails from folks so that we can share what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, this goes without saying. We've already made mention of it at the show, outset of the show, that this is one of those things that across the board everybody has struggled with at one certain time or another, or you could say on a daily basis you have to make good choices and be mindful of what Jesus would do and how your spirit would connect with God and with others, or you'll just literally go with selfishness. But this may be a little bit, I don't know, might be a ridiculous thought, but those of you that are out there, if just like this email that we just had, if you found yourself listening to this topic and you know you struggle in this area, why don't you just let us, write us in, let us know that this is something that you're glad that we're talking about, that's helping up to open up your heart to see things as you should. And it's good for me. I'm learning by it too. So definitely give us a shout. Oh, by the way, BJ, I'll make mention of it now. We can make mention of it later too. Last week, Wednesday, we didn't have the Bible study because it was Veterans Day. So the library was closed.
Are you having one this
week?
But
we are this week. So tomorrow. I want to make sure I mention at least twice just because we were off a week. And sometimes when you know you're off a week, people think, oh, well, I haven't done such and such in a long time. That was nice. Maybe I won't go next time, you know. So
And tell people how they can actually watch it.
Yeah, well, the easiest way is jimhockaday.com, and then there's a button for the radio show that you're listening to tonight, or there is a live stream place where you can click on, and that'll take you right to the live stream. Or you can go to the Abiding Presence radio show website, which is what we're on tonight, and you'll also find the live stream. So either place, that's the easiest way to go.
Okay, we've had a couple text messages. Yay! The first one says, great show tonight. Shout out to Joe and Josiah in Statesville. So Joe and Josiah, someone is saying hello to you at Statesville. Got another one that says, hello, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Listening in from Tampa, Florida, Dennis and Muriel Mattson. They made it. They're in Florida for the winter.
They are.
Then we have one that says, hi, from Maple Grove, Minnesota. So
who's in Maple Grove again? Is that Dave and Barb?
I don't know. Hi from Maple Grove, Minnesota. I don't know who it is.
I know that town as far as our show's concerned. We definitely heard that before.
So we've had 4 text messages so far. Had a couple of emails. There's plenty of time to email the show tonight. So please take advantage of that. We're talking about selfishness. And it says, yes, it's Dave and Barb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, so it is. It's Dave and Barb. Rangers sent her text message out. So if you want to see what kind of message Ranger sent this evening, you have to text the show. And hopefully people get the read Ranger's text.
Right.
If you're just listening to the show for the first time, Ranger is a chocolate Labrador retriever. She belongs to me. I belong to her. She's laying on the floor outside the studio, but Jim kept the studio door open. And you know what? I don't notice any sound difference because the barn's pretty quiet.
No, it is quiet. Yeah, this room's great, even with that door open.
Yeah, I don't see any issue. She's actually got her. She's laying. Look, she's laying on the laying on the floor, and look, she's got her head on the carpet in the room.
Yeah.
So she's
good for her.
Yeah, she's sleeping.
Well, I noticed the verse of scripture over in Luke chapter 18. I'm going to start in verse 18 because this again just highlights what we're sharing and talking about tonight. And this is Jesus talking with a certain ruler, and it says, the ruler made comment to Jesus, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And it says, the ruler said, all these I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, these things are possible with the things which are possible with men are impossible with men, are possible with God. So look at what happened with this ruler. It was the selfishness over the world's goods which kept him from experiencing God. And we're talking about him talking directly to Jesus.
I honestly don't. Well, I mean, I know I wouldn't have met you and we wouldn't have done the show, but there is no way I ever would have entertained a relationship with the guys or even acknowledged there were guys if I hadn't have been paralyzed. I was making a ton of money, having the time of my life, a brand new Ford pickup truck every other year.
Right.
Not encumbered by family, you know, no wife, no kids, no family, not very many friends. I could do just about everything that I wanted. And when it was lost, because my legs didn't work,
right,
I realized that a lot of the things that I thought were important and that I needed, I didn't need, and I still don't.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I'm walking, I still haven't returned to the same person or the same life I had.
Right.
Because I realized that it really wasn't important, it wasn't special, and that there was so much more opportunities for things than I had when I was just rocking and rolling, working horses every day.
Right, right.
It was, and no matter how much I elaborate this on your show, no one is really fully going to understand what I'm saying until they start to change how they treat themselves and how they live their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be as drastic as me. It can be just simple things. But it all leads to being humble. Because we are made in God's image. He is our Father. So to be humble to yourself is to be humble to Christ.
Right, right.
We got some text that says, thanks for being a great friend to our great friend Ranger. Selfishly, we will miss you. And then it says, revised, read this one. Oh, well, it says, thanks for being a great friend to our great friend BJ Ranger. Selfishly, we will miss you. And what they're referring to is Ranger sent a text out. Ranger is going home to the guys Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Central Time. It's time for Ranger to go home and be with a couple of my horses and my first dog, Rose. So Ranger is... Ranger's going home to be with the guys, and she'll be waiting for me. And that was her text that she sent out tonight. So So this is Ranger's last radio show, and I'm not sure she's even going to bark because she's pretty sacked out, just laying on the floor sleeping. But that's what those couple of texts I read are referring to.
Yeah.
Let's see if we got any emails. And Did you hear that horse whinny in my headphones?
Yeah, I did.
I did. I wonder if people heard that horse whinny in through their computers. I don't know. It was pretty subtle and it was kind of far away. But I heard it. It was real.
Right.
It was in the background when I was talking. Okay, folks, we need some text messages. We need some emails. You can find out how to text or email the show on the show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page.
Well, I'm going to read here from James in chapter 3 because this really spells it out. Of course, this is the New King James Version. Really, really good passage here. It says, verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality or hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." It's interesting here the contrasts of what James is trying to help the people at his church with. And notice the way that he really levels the playing field here and gets right to the heart of the matter when he says, this kind of wisdom with envy and self-seeking, it's earthly, sensual, demonic. And then he says this, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Folks, this topic tonight is so, in my opinion, monumental to every single one of us, building an awareness with God as we learn to live in humility and love versus the envy and self-seeking. And listen, if you're looking for the world to help you with this, you're looking in the wrong place. Because right now the current that is in the world that is going extremely evil is moving so very fast that if you're not on purpose going the opposite direction, most likely, some degree, you're going with it.
Yeah. That, well, there are many places in Scripture that refer to different types of selfishness. Some are more obvious than others. You know, we always talk about how it's never the big things that keep you from having a relationship with Christ. It's always the really small things, the things that you just go, ah, God, I didn't even think about that. Or, I didn't think that would be it. Because we always kind of gravitate and focus towards really large things.
Yeah, sure.
Let's see. How many banks have I robbed this year? How many puppies have I kicked like a soccer ball? How many times have I robbed a store of a television set? And you think, well, I haven't robbed any banks, haven't kicked any dogs, I haven't robbed any TVs. Well, I'm going to heaven. I should be having a conversation with God. But yet, we don't think about the subtle things. The selfishness of our narrow thinking. That, and I'm not talking about giving money to a homeless person. There's nothing wrong with that. Or buying... a lot of the grocery stores here in Oklahoma, they'll start to fill bags up with a meal, with a full meal in a couple of grocery bags. And for X amount of money, you can buy one of these already bagged meals, and then it's donated to a family that can't afford a holiday supper. I mean, that's great, but that's not the kind of selfishness we're talking about. We're talking about the personal choices that we all face on a daily basis.
Right.
The simplest of choices that boost our ego, that make us smile, that make us feel better about us.
Yeah.
I mean, think how crazy that sounds. We try to make ourselves feel better about ourselves without a relationship with God? I don't know. Just got a text that popped up on the screen. It says, "Thank you for this message. Wow, do I see how selfish I am?" Looks like we got an email here that says, "Hey Ranger, you have been an excellent friend to BJ. I will always enjoy BJ's stories of how he involved you in his practical jokes and pranks. I look forward to meeting you when I get to heaven. You'll be missed."
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's from someone named Catherine. "A huge hug to Ranger from Morgan Hill, Grandpa and Grandma."
That's awesome.
Yeah, I messed up. I didn't even play the motorcycle because it said "a hug to Ranger." Now, that's a distraction, folks, right there. But the there's all kinds of things that we do to ourselves that, and see, don't beat yourself up about tonight's topic.
Oh, no.
I don't want you to do that, because a lot of the selfishness that we suffer from, we weren't born with it, but we sure grew up with it.
Yeah.
You know, they say that a child lives in a home where there is violence against other members, where there's physical abuse in the home, or there's drugs, or there's alcohol, or the parents steal and commit crimes, or they lie, that the reality that child grows up in is a very hard reality not to participate in as an adult. Well, it makes sense. We're very adaptable people. We're the most evolved mammals on the face of the planet. And it really kind of is the old joke, monkey see, monkey do. So a lot of the selfishness that keeps us from being humbled and having a relationship with God is the reality that we grew up in. Now, I'm not saying everybody's parents or grandparents or aunt and uncles or babysitters were consciously trying to show us selfish ways. Well, no, that would be easy to get over. But it's the reality we live in, the pride of blue ribbons, the accomplishment of being first, getting the good grades, having a good credit rating, having the latest type of cellular telephone, all the things that we take pleasure in. And somebody says, "Oh, wow, you got one of those phones? You betcha, I got the new phone. Well, you're lucky, I want one. I just can't afford one. Oh, they're great, you got to get one." Well, we don't see the selfish pride in that. That we think about that, we relish it, and we seek out more. Trust me, it's very addictive. At least it is for me.
Yeah.
But that takes us clicks away from Christ. It keeps us from enjoying the humbleness of righteousness, of being close to God, of understanding who we are, where we came from, but more importantly, where we choose to go when we die. And that's a difficult thing to really, I don't know, take on by yourself. But unfortunately, it is something you have to do yourself, because everybody has some type of selfishness to deal with. We got a text, yeah, Jim, that says, "Thanks. This is a subject I have been concerned about since I, too, live alone and have no one to be accountable to. Well, I'll be that way, and come Thursday, it says, as always, great show tonight. BJ, your genuine love for Ranger is the exact opposite of selfishness. Selfishness is simply a fear of lack. Selfishness is simply a fear of lack. If there is no fear, there is no selfishness. Perfect love casts our fear, and your example of high level of love for Ranger and the emotion that is in your voice tonight speaks loudly to where we can all aspire to in our daily lives. Give our love to Ranger. Well, that's from Breakfast Ed.
Yeah.
He's never bought me breakfast.
I'm sure he's laughing about that.
Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Ed, you know what to do.
Local restaurant Bixby's got they got pumpkin pancakes.
Oh, I bet.
And you know,
is that right down the street?
Yeah, the Appleboro. Yeah. The toughest thing about eating pumpkin pancakes is, well, number one, if you don't like the taste of pumpkin, you're in for, you know, it's going to be a bad deal. But I always have to order, they come in, you can get as many you want, but I always order three on three separate plates. Because I'll put butter and honey on one pumpkin pancake, butter and maple syrup on another pumpkin pancake, and the third pumpkin pancake has just got butter. And interestingly enough, as selfish as this sounds, all three pancakes seem to be completely eaten by me. And I leave the restaurant quite satisfied with myself for my experiment. And the waitress, she says, you are really strange.
You know, there's a scripture that I'm looking at.
That's about pumpkin pancakes?
No, it's about leaving the restaurant satisfied with yourself. So it is. You're going to like this. It says, this is Jesus talking here in Luke 6:24. He said, but it's trouble ahead if you think you've made it. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. It's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I've spent a life working with people and their horses, and when it comes time to say goodbye to a family member or pet or companion animal, however you want to classify the animals in your life, There's a tipping point between quality and quantity. And what I mean is more days and more chances to talk to the animal, to see the animal, to touch the animal, to have the animal in your life. That's the quantity part. And the tipping point is the quality. There's a big difference between animals and people. If a person breaks their leg, well, there's no other way to put it. They're just plain screwed. They're just going to lay on the ground. They're going to scream with pain. And they're going to say, my leg is broke. I'm helpless. There's nothing I can do. I can't move. My leg is broke. Call 911. I need help. The interesting thing about animals is an animal that has a broken leg, well, they feel the pain, they have the panic, but their survival instincts to endure, to go on to the next day, and to actually endure that pain and the lack of movement in that limb, and perhaps it heals correctly. Perhaps it doesn't. Perhaps they become an animal with a leg that doesn't function right because it was broke and it wasn't cast. It wasn't x-rayed. They didn't receive medical care. So when it healed incorrectly. And they're no longer themselves. But they learn to live that life as that animal with a leg that doesn't function right. As human beings, as evolved as we are, well, we can't deal with that. We have to be fixed. We have to be perfect. We have to be the way we were. And sometimes that's a reflected on our animals. A type of selfishness of the heart, of love and admiration for an animal. That we acknowledge that an animal is sick. We acknowledge that an animal's quality of life is diminishing greatly, perhaps not by the week or the day, but by the hour. But yet, by having that animal around, we see them for the way they used to be. And we see glimpses of those looks, of the barks, of the gallops, of the eye contact of days gone by when the animal was healthy and sound. And so our love is a breeding ground for a type of selfishness. It's hard to let go. It's hard to say goodbye. But it's time for Ranger to go home. Because the tipping point of quality and quantity, well, it's just around the corner. And I don't want her to ever see or experience that corner. But the flip side to this coin is, we face this choice every day, whether it's about putting a dog to sleep or putting a horse to sleep, or maybe not spending as much time with our hobby and more time with a loved one. Or maybe not working as many hours and coming home sooner. Or making a point that just because people have homework, they have video games, their favorite television show is on TV, that everybody is in the house, and sooner or later everyone will be grown and that house will be empty, but tonight's supper, all the TV, all the cell phones will be turned off, we are going to have a family dinner together. Because it is a fleeting moment in time. That we will set aside our small, very limited, damaging, selfish ways to share a meal together. So see, there's all kinds of perspectives and interpretations of exactly what selfish is. Mm-hmm. And how to eliminate that is very, you know, a lot of religious organizations, and it's very easy to take humbling as a punishment, as it's going to make you feel bad, but you'll be humbled, and so then you get grace in your life. A lot of feeling humble and being humbled and enjoying the experience of humbling is really fun. It's great. It's very uplifting, and you feel like you've been walking around with an 80-pound backpack, and all of a sudden that backpack is gone or it's full of feathers. That finally humbling to yourself, it's a very pleasant, uplifting experience. I just don't want you to think that you need to prepare yourself for a complete sad downer of a situation.
Right.
That's not the case. It's just the opposite. And why would it not be the opposite?
Right.
Anything to do with the guys is pleasant.
Yeah.
Anything that gets you closer to Christ is going to be one whopper of a party.
Yeah, amazing.
So think of humbling as a positive, pleasant experience. We got some text that came in. It says, such a sweet, brilliant dog, sad to hear that she is leaving, but she will always be remembered and loved. And let's see if we have any emails.
That was from Allie.
And how do you know?
I know.
That was from your daughter? Okay. I don't know how you know that, but it's your radio show, so you can say whatever you want. Okay. We don't have any emails. Nobody's emailing the show right now. I don't know. Maybe they're gone. They're watching TV or they went out for ice cream. We mentioned pumpkin pancakes.
Oh, gosh. It might have made people go.
We mentioned pumpkin pancakes, and now everyone's gone. And we just got an email that says, I don't have texting. I would love to hear what Ranger texts. Jim, text the show so you can read what Ranger's text is. My phone is 14 years old, and texting is not easy to accomplish.
It says, I wish you all well and goodbye. It is time for me to go be with the guys and wait on BJ to join me. Ranger. So that's what she texts the show. That's what people are reading. Yeah, I trust everyone that you're enjoying tonight's show. Of course, obviously, there's moments of sadness for us all, because for those of you who don't have the privilege, like I do, of actually firsthand getting to know Ranger, you don't know what an amazing dog she is. And she couldn't have got amazing like that unless she had a wonderful trainer, somebody that loved her like BJ did. So we've said for years, and for the last 4 years, I've been out on the field, we call it that, but in going out to churches and teaching and preaching, and very often we'll bring up the Ranger theory. I don't know if you remember that, but
the Ranger theory, that was my first theory.
It was, and probably be better for you to tell it.
Okay, here's the Ranger theory. Okay, now, in my life, I've had two dogs. They've both been chocolate Labrador retrievers, females. The only reason I pick girl dogs over boy dogs is because girl dogs, when you let them outside to go to the bathroom, they just squat and they go and they're done. The tank is empty. Boy dogs, they just don't seem to run out. They got to squirt everything all day long. And so when you're traveling around during the day from barn to barn, it's kind of nice to have a dog that'll go to the bathroom. And that's it. Just one time, and they're done.
Right.
But this is the Ranger theory, okay? And the reason it's Ranger is because it's about a dog. People have always complimented me that the dog that I would have would be, they'd say, oh, your dog is so smart. Your dog is so well-behaved. You talk to your dog like it's a person, and it listens. It picks up tools. It turns lights on and off. It barks on command, and it just, I can't even get my kids to behave as well as your dog. And they just say, boy, I wish I had a dog like that. And then I ask them a simple question. And I say, how much time do you spend with your dog? And they say, what do you mean? And I says, if you had a stopwatch and you went in the backyard or the garage or wherever your dog spends the majority of its life, the dog run, how many minutes do you think you spend with your dog every day? And they'd say, well, I feed it and I water it. And I when it's in the backyard, I'll go out and clean up what it leaves on the grass. And I'll play with it for a little bit. It might sit on my lap when I watch TV. And I'll say, okay, what do you think that adds up to? And they'll say, oh, I don't know, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours a day. And I'll say, okay. And then I'll say, do you know how much time I spend with Ranger? And they'll say, how much? And I'll say, well, we work together, we play together, we eat together, we sleep together. And yes, a lot of times, depending on what it is, we go to the bathroom together. And I says, we are virtually never apart. And I said, so think of the reinforcement. Every time Ranger sits, I say, sit. Every time she starts to walk to me, I say, come. So her whole life, every command is always reinforced virtually 24/7. So it becomes part of her reality to listen and do the commands. And they say, well, I never thought about it like that. So this is the Ranger theory. All dogs are equal. If you have a dog tied to a tree in the backyard, and it's got a doghouse and a pan of water, and you throw food at it, and it spends its whole life tied to that tree, exactly what type of relationship? Mm-hmm. What is that dog truly going to learn? nothing because it spends all of its time alone and you know nothing of the dog and the dog knows nothing of you. If you have a dog in the backyard that you let in the house on cold or wet days and the kids play with it, well, there's a little more contact, but yet is the dog really a part of your life? No, it's more like a casual, part-time friend. That's the ranger theory. How much time do you spend with your dog? The more time you spend with your dog, the more you talk to your dog, you work with your dog, the more that dog is going to be a part of you and it's going to learn. Well, the ranger theory can be applied to your life with Christ. Is your relationship with Christ one of a vacant, kind of just a passerby, a pedestrian type of relationship? You go on a Sunday for an hour and a half, you sing the songs, you shake hands, you hold hands, you put a little money in the plate or the basket, and then you go have a pumpkin pancake and you say, I'm a Christian and I've done my job. But see, a real relationship with Christ is exactly like the ranger theory. That you're never apart. That you're always together. And that the more time you spend together, the more enlightened and closer you become. The richer the relationship. The more that is accomplished through grace. That was the first theory that I ever presented to Jim, and I called it the ranger theory.
Yeah.
And since this is Ranger's last radio show, well, that's kind of nice that we would
do fitting.
That. Yep. We got an email. We got one here that came in 6 minutes ago. It says, amazing show tonight. Can't tell you how much we appreciate the topic you chose. It's speaking numbers to us and is definitely something I need to be more aware of in my walk with Christ. Great show. Give our love to Ranger. We're really going to miss the fun and joy she has always brought to the show. This is from Julian and Patricia. Okay, we got another email here that says, hi guys and Ranger. It says, Annabelle and I usually listen via to the show archives, but we are live tonight. Well, that's nice that someone who listens to archives gets to listen live. It says, great topic tonight. I am helped in this area as I meditate on how receive the truth that I am a spirit. As a result, I'm experiencing a newfound ease in allowing the guys to take fleshly appetites away from me. I always thought of fasting as an effort-filled practice on my part, but it seems that God delights in canceling my appetites, just like He canceled my sin. Everything is easier once I step away from my body and view it the same way as I look at my truck that I drive around town. The show is a big help to me. Thank you so much. Our condolences for BJ. Well, thank you. Billy and Annabelle. Oh, they sent a picture on their email. Has a picture. Let's see if it comes up. I think it's them. And it is. Boy, they got big smiles. Yeah, they use a good toothpaste. Their teeth are white. They got big smiles. And sometimes people's emails have a little picture to, you know, show you who they are. I don't think they intentionally do it. I just think it's, you know, part of the email that they use. There's plenty of time to email the show, plenty of time to text the show. What do you think about so far? Is this the way you thought the show would go? Because we really didn't talk a lot about this.
No. I think it's good. And I think a scripture that everybody would really like that would just help to continue to bring our thoughts toward this subject and why it's important, especially in the day we live, the time, the hour of our country, and things that are going on daily that seem to confront us constantly with people just, losing sight of reality. Do you know the scriptures do forecast and prophesy that in the last day there'll be a spirit of deception that'll be upon the face of the earth? And when you think about it, I mean, We're living in that day right now. I mean, think of how things have so altered and changed. But I'm over here in Matthew 10:34, and it says, Jesus talking, "Don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut, to make a sharp knife cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Cut through these cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. If you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me." Verse 38, "If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll both find yourself and me." You know, you can interpret this, obviously, in the wrong way and think, wow, this is really tough. I can't believe Jesus would say this. He's just trying to help you to realize that there's nothing of this life that really has the importance to take the place of you giving your attention undividedly to Him and experiencing what it's like to find yourself, to find Jesus, and then be able to respond and react as a son, as a daughter, as a mother, as a father, as a friend, as a family member, as an acquaintance. Folks, everything starts in God, and everything should come out of that relationship. So Jesus here is giving us an amazing and wonderful prescription. It sounds like he's telling us that he's really coming here to separate everybody from one another. But he's not really saying that as much as he's saying that when you find me, that's when you'll be able to be the kind of person you should be to others. And he's also saying here that you will come up against, even in relationships, even in family members, you will come to a place when you find God where you'll have to make a tough stand. And at that point, it'll be about how well you have an affection toward him, whether or not you choose him or you choose others.
Okay, have you got your email on?
I do.
I want to try something. I want to try an experiment to see if I can do this or not, okay? All right, hold on a second. All right, let me see. Send. I'm pressing a send button. Okay, did you just receive an email?
Let's see.
From the Abiding Presence?
I did.
You did? Open it up and see if it's there. Is it there?
It is, yep.
Okay, there's a couple emails. You read them.
Okay.
Because I don't think I can.
This says, BJ, I guess I'm being really selfish right now, but I'm so distracted right now by the sorrow I feel about Ranger. I have three beautiful, awesome, beloved Aussies in heaven that I have never stopped thinking or thanking the guys for the privilege of knowing and loving. I was not good at having to say goodbye to any one of them, but I know that they are playing and being loved in a way that goes beyond anything I could ever have given them. Even though I don't know you or Ranger, I can say with all confidence that you both love each other very much and have enjoyed many wonderful moments of grace with each other. Your connection is proof that grace is tangible. Your bond is a beautiful picture of the tender, patient, gentle, and intense love God has for us. You may not remember, but I once asked you if my pets are in heaven. Your answer comforted me at a time when I was grieving for one of my best buddies, Deco's brother, Da Vinci. I know the joy of spending a lot of time building a special bond with my dogs, and that is also why I know the pain and sadness of the absence of them. The gift of all your moments together are such a precious gift from the guys. I wish I could give you both a great big hug. Thank you for sharing Ranger with us. What beautiful dog she is.
Can you hear her?
Yeah,
can you
hear her? Yeah, I can.
What is it, Ranger? What is it? What do you say? Bark, bark. What do you say, Ranger?
She just came into play.
Oh, Oh, what is it? What is it? Oh, what a good girl. Ranger. What do you say? Good girl. She doesn't bark much
right
the last couple days, but I don't know. She was laying out in the middle of the hallway, and she just came in, and she saw her. She just walked in, started growling and barking. I'm glad that you bark. Come on, lay over here. In your place. Good girl. In your place. It's kind of funny. I used to have a radio show about hunting and fishing, and I used to have professional sporting dog trainers on there. And really, the way you train a dog, school a dog, is the way that you school a horse. There's no difference.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I didn't know anything about dogs. And I just decided, well, my first dog, Rose, who lived to be 12 and a half, I just pretended she was a very small pony.
Hmm.
And I've always looked at Ranger as a dog, but I'd say, well, it's just another horse, just a small pony. And that's how I've always looked at it. Lay down. Go on. Lay down. You can do it. Good girl. But, anyways, I don't know. She just literally walked in here and started growling and talking, and I don't even know.
Right.
Oh, did you get that other email?
I got one.
Okay, see if there's another one. I sent you two. Did you get the other one?
Just came in.
Okay, why don't you read that one too?
Said,
I just, you know.
Said, thank you so much for the show tonight. Gosh, this the writing of this email has to be in about 8 font. Anyhow, thank you for the writing of the show tonight. It is touching and going straight to the heart. First, because of the bittersweet news about Miss Ranger, and then the discussion. I know it is not done intentionally, but between the love coming through BJ's voice and sharing of Ranger, the Ranger theory, and the overall discussion, it amplifies the importance for us to lose our lives to Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit to find it. Submission of our lives to the guides actually allows us to experience it in the abundance the Father created it to be. Selfishness steals away real life. Miss Ranger, thank you for your banks of barks and presence on the show. For the short time I have listened, you always made me smile when the show ends with you barking out God spelled backwards.
Yep, she does.
Warmest regards. Yep.
I just had you read those because, I don't know, I thought they should be read and enunciated properly.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
You know, so I thought, and yep. Talk about being lazy. Okay, hold on a second. Wait, let me find out. Stay, Ranger. Okay, I got a tape measure right here. Hold on. See, listen. That's a tape measure going in and out. See, listen. That's a tape measure. Let's see. Hold it next to your, okay. We are exact. I can't believe this. We are 4 feet. This tape measure is hard to read. Good thing it's here and not outside. Let's see. Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. We are 4.5 feet away.
Right.
Because we're both leaning back in our chairs.
Sure.
And there's a table and computers between us. We are 4.5 feet away. And I just emailed Jim. I've just forwarded him 2 emails. Now, folks, if we ever have a show about laziness, and that, I don't know. I just thought that, you know me,
well,
technology.
The epitome of that was a friend told me this story. I thought it was pretty. It was fun at the same time. You know, it shows the ridiculousness of it. But he said he's in bed at night one night, and his wife's right next to him. They're both on their little iPads or phones, you know,
right,
looking at the internet, and they both were on Facebook. And he ended up seeing something she posted, and he liked it.
Right.
So she commented back to him about his like, and he commented back to her about her comment. And then commented another time, and then they turned and looked at each other, and it's like, really? Are we doing this?
And they were next to each other?
They were right next to each other.
I've been in restaurants before where people will be texting each other and all of a sudden they stop texting and say, exactly what did you mean?
You know, they're literally sitting across the supper table, and they need a clarification.
Right.
You know, there is so much depth of there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world.
Yeah.
That we just don't quite fathom exactly what Scripture is talking about. Because for all the good that texting and emails and cellular phones and TVs and cars and electricity and refrigeration, I mean, nobody likes a frozen candy bar more than me, but they're all distractions. And they all get in the way.
Yeah, right.
Because think about this, even in the time of Jesus and the Pharisees. Okay, no windows, one set of clothes, one pair of shoes. You literally got up when the sun came up, and you went to bed when the sun went down. And your sole purpose for the day was to work, earn, or raise or grow enough food to give you energy to do it all over again the next day.
The next day, yeah.
I mean, it was just a sustenance type of life. And there was still enough distractions in people's lives and minds that Scripture talks about the selfishness and the humbling and the distractions in a major way.
Yeah.
So if you fast forward 2,000 years to the 17th of November, 2015, on a Tuesday night at 9:30 Central Standard Time, how much more distractions do you think we have? Because I'm not sure if you're going to compare yourself to Scripture, because we are all a lot more like Pharisees than we are average people. We have excess. We have more. And it's all distractions. And it's all a type of selfishness. Because it's about us. About us and about me, about me, about me, about us, instead of it's about God,
right.
It's about Jesus, it's about the Holy Spirit, and it's about grace. We got an email, came in 3 minutes ago. Subject says Lady Ranger. It says, "Hi BJ, Jim, and Lady Ranger. I really appreciate the topic tonight. I will listen to this one several times. I have greatly appreciated getting to know Ranger through the radio show. I will miss you, Ranger, and I will look for you when I get to heaven, along with my pets, who are already there waiting for me. BJ, I appreciate you more than you know. Your love for Ranger has taught us so much. I too am alone now, but God is with me, and my relationship with him grows by the day. And I have you three to thank, no one else. BJ, your perspective on Ranger going home is so inspiring. I am forever grateful to you. What a welcome Ranger will have when she goes home, and I have no doubt she will have a lot of fun with the guys while waiting for her love. BJ, to reunite with her, Ranger, BJ, Jim, and so many others will miss you, but you're going home. Wow, what an unselfish act for BJ to allow you to go. My love to you, Ranger, always, and to you, BJ." This is from Debbie. That was a very nice email.
Very nice, very nice.
I don't know why I could read that one and I couldn't read the others. I don't even have some sideways reason why. We're all cut up on emails. It looks like we're all... it says, "Sorry about Ranger. I lost a dog as a child, and I still think about her." And so sorry to hear about Ranger. I know she will be greatly missed. The thing about, I want to talk about loss for a second, because there's all kinds of, you know what? No, I don't. Let's talk about loss on next week's show.
Okay.
Remind me.
Okay, I will.
Think you'll remember?
I will.
You won't remember.
I will too.
Really?
Yep.
You don't think you should write it down somewhere? Because you usually write lots of stuff. Did you write anything before the show?
I did.
A little or a lot? A little?
Three.
One thing that Ranger experienced today that she's never experienced in her life was before the show started, Jim brought peanut butter cookies and Cheetos, the puffy kind. And I gave Ranger four puffy Cheetos, and she'd never had Cheetos before, and it was fun listening to her eat Cheetos. And because I don't believe that animals should get people food. And, well, there she goes. Where are you going? Huh? Hi, Ranger. Good girl. Well, she comes and goes. That's her right to do. But are you okay? Yep, she's okay. She got up. She's just sitting here next to me. And I'm petting her. Jim.
Yeah.
Talking about selfishness. There's got to be more scripture than you've read, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you got any?
I've got some right here, yeah.
All right, let's hear them.
Romans chapter 8, verse 4. I want you to put this in perspective to what we really tried to say tonight, because, of course, there's a whole other area of talking about selfishness in relating to the love of God and how we are instructed by Jesus. And one of the outflows of being saved is that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, and the love of God would meet the needs of others, put other people first, honor other people, and be a giver. So that's a whole other side of this whole area of selfishness. Listen to this from Romans chapter 8 and verse 3 and 4, I think through about verse 8 of the Message Bible. It says, the law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for but we couldn't deliver is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. So notice here the emphasis is about you connecting with what the Spirit is doing in you. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find, that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. So again, look at the emphasis here. It's about you discovering how real God is. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is opposite of focusing on God. I trust you got that. That's about as big or as good as you can have it. Focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Remember, this whole passage here is about you discovering how real God is. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person who ignores God that person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. So I think this is a great passage here to really maybe summarize somewhat the emphasis of what we're trying to say tonight, that there is an amazing and wonderful relationship of God, and one of the greatest hindrances to that is, I'll say it like this to you, or for my relationship, it's me. It's the way that we get in our own way. Have we ever said that in the last 4 or 3 years? that your secret to success as a Christian is what? Learning to get out of your own way.
Yeah.
Because when you get yourself out of the way, that's when you can find him. So I think Paul does a great job here revealing to us that there are amazing pitfalls to the life of selfishness and being self-absorbed.
Okay, we got an email that just literally popped up on the screen. It says 0 minutes ago. It says, BJ, in relation to Ranger going home on Thursday, is there anything we, the listeners, can do for you? Yeah, I think just have a good Thursday. Live your lives. Think about trying not to be too selfish to yourself, and enjoy life, and have good thoughts for Ranger.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know. I'm kind of hard to explain, I guess, because I don't even know how to put this into words, but yeah, I want people to think positive thoughts about Ranger, and I'm glad that you've enjoyed her being part of the show and stuff, but we also have to put Ranger in perspective. I mean, yes, she's going to be put to sleep, but she's doing something that all of us hopefully want to strive to do. I mean, the girl's going home.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to be with the guys. And that's why we're talking and to each other and listening to this radio show, is because that's what we strive to do. And so there's a part of me that is so brokenhearted, and the ranch is going to be very quiet and very lonely without her. And the house is going to be very quiet and alone without her. But yet, there's a part of me that is sad and melancholy, but yet very pleased to know that she made it. She's going home. And that's the whole point of us striving to have a relationship with Christ, is to have that peace of mind, knowing that no matter how bad our day gets, no matter what somebody says or does, no matter how we think we're losing and how people have more than us and how our life is tough and how much we're struggling, that there is an end game, that there is something else besides this. Because either you believe that is and you believe in Scripture and you're going to strive to be more selfless to yourself and humble to yourself so you can be humbled before the guys, or what are you doing? Why waste your time reading the Bible? Why waste your time worshiping God? Why in the world waste your time listening to this show? Because if you say, well, it isn't a waste, this is important, well, then act like it's important. Live like it's important.
Right.
And that, and as serious as this sounds, it really is, and it's fun. Folks, I'm here to tell you that the closer you get to the guys, the more fun you're going to have, the more uplifting it is.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how else to explain it or elaborate, because inside me there's a clock ticking, just going tick, 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 because I know exactly how many minutes and hours it is until Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Trust me. And so there's a balancing act between curling up a little ball, crying and saying how I'm going to miss my only family member, or rejoicing in the fact she's going home.
Right, right.
And these are choices that we all make. We make them every day. And so when you start making good choices, it's easier. And that grace comforts you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Colossians 3:1 in the Barclay translation is really good here. It says, if then you have been raised to life with Christ, your heart must be set on the great realities of the heavenly sphere, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Your constant concern, notice constant concern, must be with heavenly realities, not with worldly trivialities. And I think that spells it out really well, folks, just putting into perspective the kind of things that we're sharing here tonight. The whole idea that the majority of the people on the face of the earth don't know that there is a heavenly sphere, that there is another realm, a world that is amazing, is part of the problem. You could say it like this. We've shared tonight that to be in the world, we're not supposed to be of it. But how many of you know that we're probably more of the world in many areas than we'd like to admit. That's why we're talking about selfishness tonight, because it's pretty all-inclusive for everybody has to deal at one point or another with selfishness. And especially when we relate selfishness to not just being around someone else, but we relate selfishness to our focus, the direction of our thoughts, the direction of our or the love that's in our heart, whether or not that's toward God or whether or not it's toward the flesh and the world. And folks, this isn't about taking a test and writing down the right answer. It's about how you do what you do, where you find yourself, laughing and rejoicing and being affectionate about, or where you find yourself as far as the actions that you take. So when we talk about heavenly realities versus worldly trivialities, look at what Paul's doing. I'm just going to use that word there, trivialities, to say Paul's saying that everything in the world is trivial, but everything in heaven, it's real. And that's our focus. And we don't want to be selfish with things of the earth and forfeit the right to have heaven become real to us. You know, when I was growing up, the way that I understood things spiritually was, no one really gets a good shake down here. It's pretty bad for everybody. We'd pray prayers and say, Lord, if it be thy will, you know, we'd like to have such and such or be out of this misery. And we never got our prayer answered because the way we prayed was wrong. And so we just all figured that, well, God doesn't really want to do much for us, you know. But when you think about it, how much do you really want God to be real in your life? Were the things that Jesus actually accomplished for us and paid such a great price for us that we can actually experience those here now? Don't wait till you get to heaven, like that old song says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And yes, we're talking about even with Ranger, what a wonderful thing for her to experience life and to experience it on a level where she isn't in pain. But now, think, what about down here? What about the life that we're living? Can we be free from that? Can we be free from the harassment and drama of life? Yes, we can. Just like BJ said, the closer you get to grace, the more you experience, the more fun you have, and the less you care or worry about this world.
We got a text that it says, good program, gentlemen. BJ, are you going to get another dog? I don't know.
You got three new cats.
Yeah, well, they're barn cats. I never wanted Ranger. I never planned on Ranger. My first dog, Rose, meant as much to me as Ranger does now. And I took her loss real, real tough. I couldn't look at a dog food commercial on TV. I'd see dogs in pickup trucks and I'd turn the other way. I would look away. Dogs would come up to me and I would just gently pet them, but I didn't really want to be around them because it was just a reminder of what I didn't have. And it was a little over 2 years, and a couple veterinarians and a couple feed stores and two or three of my clients, they conspired behind my back and they actually set me up to send me on a boondoggle horse doctor appointment where there wasn't even a horse. There was just 8 chocolate lab puppies.
A litter of puppies.
The people blocked my truck in with their lawnmower and they wouldn't let me leave till I spent time playing with the puppies. But anyways, I don't know, because I don't know. Part of me is torn. Part of me wants to get a puppy and start schooling it, and so that I'm not alone. And another part of me thinks it would be disrespecting Ranger, almost like cheating on her by just going out and replacing her so quickly. And part of me doesn't want anything to do with a dog in my life for who knows how long. That's my honest answer. I don't know. I just don't know how else to answer that. I guess I could have said something more graceful or something more radio worthy, but that's just how I answered it. And let me check for emails, refresh the screen.
And then I've got one more.
And then you need to say something to music.
Yeah, I've got one more verse here to say too.
Okay, go ahead. Read the,
well,
make sure you tell people where it is, because a lot of times you just say blah, 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 really super quickly.
Okay, it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Well, folks, that scripture right there just helps you to see the other side of it. Talked a lot about selfishness tonight. Certainly, again, like we said, this isn't about making somebody feel bad, because there is no condemnation, but it is about choices. You know, it's not so much what you've done as what you're going to do after you know you did it. And so right here you see a verse of scripture that's humbling. People are praying, seeking the face of God, turning from their wicked ways. There's your repentance. And then you see what God does. "Then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land." Well, I know that's Old Covenant, and we have Jesus as our healer, and we have Jesus as the one who's forgiven all sin. But I'm telling you, the principle is the same. It's when you're living out of humility, and you're not living out of selfishness, and you're giving your heart to God, and it's not a part of lip service, it's really what you do on a regular basis, and you're building that connection and acknowledging grace everywhere. It's amazing what begins to happen in your life. You start seeing things from a different perspective, and the perspective is all about the communion, fellowship, the fun, the time that you have with God, and you want to protect it. So tonight, I really trust that the message has come through loud and clear.
Okay, are you ready to say something to music?
Yep.
Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Well, I think it's just fitting for all of us just to, as we've had this show, not only remember the topic of the show, that it was about selfishness, and we want to give ourselves not only to one another in love and in respect and honor, but give ourselves to God in the same love, respect, and honor. So I think we can practice that by just saying that we all do love Ranger. She's been an amazing part of the show. I don't know what we're going to do, in a sense, without her from that perspective, because we rely on her at this particular point in the show every single week for the last 3.5 years. I think everybody ought to give a big shout out to Ranger and let BJ know we love her, and we're certainly praying for him, and we know that Ranger shall be blessed, and God's love is with us at all times. Ranger, we love you.
Oh, Ranger, did you hear that? Oh, did you hear that? Can you hear it growling?
Yeah.
Ranger. Wait a second. Wait a second. Bark, bark. She does a lot of growling tonight for some reason. Okay, I think we covered the topic pretty good, and I want to talk about, what are we going to talk about next week again?
Lost.
Loss. About loss.
Right.
And some losses, some things are good to lose, like lose weight, lose a bad habit, lose a bad friend. other types of loss, maybe not so much.
Right.
So, folks, we want you to take care. Hold on a second. I got to push a button here. There we go. Take care of yourselves and your pets.
Yes.
Want to welcome all the new listeners out there. She always knew to bark. Doggy bell backwards. Doggy bell backwards. How did you know to do that? Ranger, dogs bell backwards. Oh, baby, you're such a good girl. Gonna miss you. Wasn't that something?
Yeah, that's great.
Doc's woo-woo! Say goodbye, Rangers. Say goodbye to everybody. Woo-woo! Good girl. Well, for myself, Jim, and Ranger, take care of yourselves and your pets.
That's right.
Wednesday night, Hardesty Library, 7 o'clock. Check it out on Facebook. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ranger.
What do you say? What do you say?
Good girl, Ranger. Good girl.